is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's in London. He writes political economics. We're looking at a major concern for all of Europe right now, the government of Deutschland, challenged by a rising phenomenon called Alternative for Deutschland, AfD, AfD. It is a party that began in the eastern part of the country, what was East Germany, but it is now a major factor in the new Bundestag. The Chancellor of Germany is Friedrich Merz. That's CDU. That's recognizable, an old rival of Angela Merkel. The coalition government includes Olaf Scholz's SPD Social Democrats, although he's no longer leading the party, Mr. Scholz. But in between is AfD. They did very well in the Bundestag, and Joseph, in his new column at the Wall Street Journal, is asking a very difficult question about AfD, and it comes out to be a simple matter of framing it. Germany still doesn't know what to do with the far-right AfD. Joe, a very good evening to you. What to do with, as in to work with, as in to ban, as in to inquire about its origins. Good evening to you, Joe.
Hey, John. Yeah, I mean, those are basically the options, and none of them are particularly good. So, to back up and remind listeners of where we are in this long, twisting, complicated tale of German politics right now. Remember, we had the election back in February. It was a win for Friedrich Merz and the Christian Democrats, which is the main center-right party. It used to be Angela Merkel's party. Before that, it was Helmut Kohl's party. But the problem is that Merz only won a plurality of the vote, barely about 30%. And so that was not enough for him to be able to form a government on his own. And the other problem that he ran into is that the second most popular party, with approximately 20% of the vote, was the Alternative for Germany, or the AfD. And they are a far-right party. And so, I mean, you would ordinarily think, well, the obvious thing is for these two big parties on the right side of the political spectrum to do a coalition and govern together. In Germany, that's not possible right now because the AfD continues to harbor elements within it who the suggestion is that they harbor various neo-Nazi sympathies or other extreme far-right leanings, which are completely taboo in mainstream politics in Germany and for very good historical reasons. And it's worth pointing out that this has made the party's brand so toxic that not even Marine Le Pen, who is the insurgent right leader in France, wants to have anything to do with AfD when they're all jostling around in Brussels together at the European Union level. So Friedrich Merz had to reach across the aisle and instead form one of these left-right grand coalitions, they're called, with the Social Democrats, the SPD, who he had just defeated in the election. And so it is only last week that they finally managed to hammer out a coalition agreement and elect him chancellor in the parliament, although even that didn't go according to plan. There were enough dissents that on the first attempt, he didn't get through, so he had to do a humiliating second vote. This is a consequence of the fact that the AfD are out there playing spoilers. You can't work with them because of this taboo, this firewall mainstream parties have had to erect around the AfD because of the neo-Nazi problem. But you also can't beat them because they are winning a strong enough vote share that they can play a spoiler. So, German politics is really in a mess right now. And the fact that Friedrich Merz eventually got over the finish line and became the chancellor last week isn't really much of a solution for these much deeper problems that they've got.
AfD has the confidence of the future, I'm told. AfD believes that in the next general election, it will be the dominant party. Now, that's ambitious, but it's worth remembering because there's that momentum in some fashion. What is your measure, Joe, of what why it appeals so broadly. It's no longer just East Germany. What is it saying? Because my quick version during the campaign was anti-NATO, anti-EU, anti-America, anti-immigrant, anti-CDU, CSU, SPD. And the only pro I could come up with was Moscow. So where's the appeal, Joe?
Well, I think of all of the antis that you listed, John, anti-immigrant is the most important one. And I think that the AfD has capitalized very successfully on this notion that Germany has a migration crisis, and it has had one since 2015, and none of the mainstream parties have been alert to the strains and stresses that this is placing on Germany. You know, no one else, the AfD would say, has a convincing answer for all of the fiscal costs associated with accepting all of these migrants. No one has a good answer for all of the law and order costs. No one has an answer for all of the social tensions that are caused by bringing in so many migrants, especially since they're predominantly Muslim immigrants coming into Germany. And that has been a very contentious issue that was taboo to talk about for a long time. And in a weird way, the mainstream keeps playing into this advantage of the AfD. So, you know, Friedrich Merz had finally pulled himself together to adopt a much tougher line on immigration for the center-right CDU. And in fact, in this coalition agreement that he just signed, he's promising to roll out some of the most stringent immigration laws Germany has had in the post-war period. And yet the same week, the domestic spying agency, the German equivalent of the FBI, comes out with this report formally branding the AfD as a far-right extremist organization and citing as justification for that all of the negative comments that the AfD makes about predominantly Muslim immigration. And I can't think of a worse thing that you could do to reinforce the AfD's pitch to voters that they are the only party that is willing to talk about this major issue that's right in front of everyone's nose than to come out with this report. And I mean, yes, the spy agency did eventually dial it back while they're waiting for legal challenges to play out. But it's this kind of phenomenon that explains the AfD's success, this notion that they are the only ones who are prepared to talk openly about this problem that is bothering growing numbers of German voters and that other parties seem to be ignoring.
The stabbings, Joe, you mentioned them in your column. It's something that comes up now and again. I don't follow in the German language the way you do, but I see these reports of knifings in the streets and fear of knifings in the street. Is that AfD concocted or is that genuine?
It is a real issue that there have been a spate of various terror attacks and other incidents of violent crime, you know, that might not have been terrorism, but that involved migrants who allegedly might have had various mental health issues or this sort of thing. And some of the alleged perpetrators of these crimes were people who, it turned out, they were supposed to have been deported, and for some reason they hadn't been. The AfD has been pointing out that there are a bunch of law and order problems here. They even coined a phrase in German which translates to knife migrant, which is actually an alliteration in German, to sort of make a political point about some of these crimes. And that then finds its way into this domestic intelligence report as an example of their extremism. And you know, the AfD will say, well, hang on. I mean, is it really extremism just to finally talk openly about this issue, which has been happening this whole time? So, I think this is a big problem because the AfD is a troubling political development because they harbor these politicians who appear to have various neo-Nazi sympathies, and where the party is refusing or is unable to purge those elements to transform itself into a respectable governing party. And yet this party, which might in fact have some right-wing extremist elements in it, is the only party that is prepared to deal with a bunch of these issues that voters are saying they care about.
Is it your sense, Joe, that the chancellor or his advisors understand that if they use domestic terrorism language in order to, in any fashion, abridge or shut down AFD, it will have the effect of making it extremely popular, a phenomenon we watched here as the Democrats kept trying to put Donald Trump in a box, and he kept getting more and more popular. Does Germany understand how it works?
I think that there was an awareness after that domestic intelligence report came out a week or so ago that this is not viable and that, banning the party is only going to make matters worse. But there is still this outstanding question of what you should do about it. And I think Merz's approach probably is the right one, although he's come to it quite late, and that is to try to come up with policies that will demonstrate to potential AfD voters that Merz is taking issues like migration and the economy seriously, and that he is going to offer a radically different and much tougher approach than mainstream parties have done before. I mean, the alternative is to ignore the AfD. And I think there are some politicians out there who suggest, 80% of Germans are not voting for the AfD, so just continue governing for the center and let the fringe look after itself. That's no kind of solution, though, because as long as the AfD is enjoying 20% or more support in elections, they will make Germany ungovernable because they will play a spoiler role as the mainstream parties try to form governing coalitions. So you've got to come up with some way of peeling back some of those voters by showing them that you're serious about the issues they care about.
Migration is not the only problem Germany has, but it's a very big one. They need to grow again. There's another country that needs to grow and has a migration problem, and we're headed there. Life in London. Joseph Sternberg, he's a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes the political economics column based in London. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.